Welcome to Enabled, the weekly program about people just like you who are dealing with issues of vision loss. The program is designed to encourage you through news you can use, inspirational stories, and interviews. I'm Nancy Zimmer, your host for Enabled. Thank you for joining me. Do you remember the musical group The Fifth Dimension from the late 1960s? Their hits included Up, Up, and Away, One Less Bell to Answer, and that memorable version of Aquarius. Mellow music from the past. Well, we're not going as far as the fifth dimension today. We're only going to explore the third dimension. In this program, you'll hear about three-dimensional printing. 3D printing is what it's called. And also you'll hear how it's used to help people who are blind or visually impaired. Topics will include 3D printing in education, art, maps, and even 3D printing in making memories. The first article comes from the blog section of Scientific American. This one was written by two people, Joan Horvath and Rich Cameron. The headline reads, "Teaching Blind Students with 3D Prints. The technology turns abstract ideas into tactile teaching aids for people who are visually impaired." Blind students learn visual concepts differently from their sighted peers. Tactile graphics, such as raised line drawings, have been around for a long time to help students with visual impairments. But simply adding a third dimension to a graph designed for sighted students carries with it a lot of assumptions about perspective, for example, assumptions that don't sync with the way blind students understand the world. Los Angeles educators Mike Chevery and Lori Schindler were early adopters of 3D printers to create models for visually impaired students to learn abstract math and science concepts. We met Chevery, a teacher of the visually impaired, at the Valley Academy of Arts and Sciences, and Schindler, who was a specialist in technologies for the visually impaired, at the Los Angeles Unified School District. We met these two people 2 years ago. We put them together with a group of Pasadena City College students who wanted a summer 3D printing project. We mentored the group and settled on creating a tactile map of a school that had a large number of visually impaired students. Tactile maps use raised symbols, braille, and outlines of structures to allow people who are blind to navigate within the space. This map was for young blind students to use as they learned to navigate the school grounds. Some standards were emerging at the time, describing the best way to 3D print braille and what symbols to use on the maps. But for the most part, we had to invent things as we went along. This did not always go well. One time, we thought we would invent a symbol to show where a doorway was, and succeeded in using the existing symbol for ladies' room. Oops. Creating a 3D model of a mix of physical and abstract information, such as a two-story school with room numbers and annotations, like the map we mentioned in the previous paragraph, all this requires a lot of trade-offs about how much information to include. It's easy to create an unreadable thicket of braille dots and physical model details. Any representation, even of something that isn't particularly abstract, like a building, has to be a bit of a cartoon, emphasizing some things and ignoring others. We are not the only ones thinking about this, of course. Chevery, this is the teacher mentioned above, Chevery has collaborated with other teachers to create 3D printed maps of neighborhoods where his students live, a model of the Hubble Space Telescope, and simple math models, such as rulers and protractors. He is currently teaching a blind student to use text-based design software called OpenSCAD, OpenSCAD, to create designs for screws and bolts. And this isn't the only effort of its kind. Blind undergraduate physics major Chelsea Cook's moving 2013 TED Talk about her experiences at Virginia Tech and how she learned physics and math from 3D printed objects makes the promise of the technology clear. We had been able to help monitor the Pasadena students to get a few models made, but we spent the next 2 years exploring ways to help get 3D printable designs to all of the teachers of visually impaired students that needed them. The first step of the 3D printing process is to generate a printable computer-aided design file. This is called a stereolithography file, or it's abbreviated STL, stereolithography file. And repeating, this is a printable computer-aided design file. There are a lot of websites with free STL files available for downloading, but the odds that teachers will find exactly what they want is low, and the quality of these files can be uneven. We found that teachers of visually impaired students often do not have time to learn to use computer-aided design software or to hunt through existing files. However, many have access to a 3D printer and could print designs if only they had them. One group that does have time to make 3D printable designs, though, is students learning 3D printing or 3D design. Many schools, libraries, and similar groups have started maker spaces or 3D printing labs in the last year or two. They all need things to do with this new technology. It seemed obvious to us that there was a need to connect teachers of visually impaired students with schools looking for a way to use the 3D printers they had bought. We entered the 2016 a prize contest called the Hackaday Prize. This is a competition to create such a community on a worldwide scale. The Hackaday Prize organizers say that they encourage the use of hardware, code, scientific research, design, and electrical and mechanical abilities to make positive changes in the world. Our entry created a public Google group where we could help teachers post their requests for designs. Teachers, librarians, or others who have students in search of 3D printing projects can then call dibs to create those designs. We documented tips on ways to work with a requester to create models that would be accurate in terms of what they were supposed to represent, also easy to print reliably, and useful to the blind. To demonstrate the process, we fulfilled one teacher's request for designs of objects with different shapes, cones, cylinders, and so on. And these objects all had to have the same volume. The teachers wanted the objects to be hollow and have one side open so the students could pour water from one to the other to demonstrate that the inside volumes were the same. But they also wanted to have a way to complete the shapes, which we solved by modeling a removable lid or base for each object. We knew that people would want to print them on a variety of different 3D printers and likely using different materials, so the design needed to allow for all that. And finally, the teachers asked us to blunt the sharp points, such as the tip of a cone, to make them comfortable for a blind person to handle. We did that by adding a little ball to the top of pointy objects, like cones and pyramids. And as of this past November 6th, the open source designs had been downloaded 729 times. The project was chosen as a semi-finalist in this contest. Top honors went to a modular robot designed for search and rescue operations. But there's a bigger picture beyond the prize. Creating a model for a blind student is just an extreme version of making models for tactile learners who generally don't fare well with typical equations on the whiteboard way of teaching math and science. Creating a physical model requires a deep understanding well beyond what might be needed to squeak through a quiz. We hope that our Google group will catalyze a new style of collaborative learning between student and teacher. Now, there's a disclaimer here. The views expressed above are those of the authors and not necessarily those of Scientific American magazine. A little more about the authors. I think this write-up is amusing. Joan Horvath is an MIT alumna, a recovering rocket scientist, and an educator. She's the co-founder of a company called Nonscriptum, a consulting and training firm that teaches educators and scientists how to use maker technologies like 3D printing, as well as open source electronics and software. She collaborates with Rich Cameron, the other author, on books for the A Press imprint of Springer Nature, including the 2016 release of 3D Printed Science Projects. And the other author, Rich Cameron, is also known as Rich Huzawatsis Cameron, is an open-source 3D printer hacker who designed the RepRap Wallace and Bukito printers. He is also the co-founder of Nonscriptum, as we mentioned. Let's see, along with Joan Horvath, he produces the same books for A Press imprint on the same release of that 3D Printed Science Projects books. So this is an interesting article, Teaching Blind Students with 3D Prints. The next article, this comes from CNN.com. It was written by Ashley Strickland. The headline reads, Opening Up a World of Art for the Blind with 3D Technology. Luke was only 7 years old when his world went dark, and he became blind unexpectedly. But as he likes to say, blindness isn't very effective on him. Even with this can-do attitude, the 13-year-old recalls feeling excluded when he visited a museum exhibition with his family where he lives in Victoria, British Columbia. It offered no braille for the blind to use in its museum experience, so his mother read the information from the placards to him. Beyond that and a few audio buttons, the rest of the exhibit involved paintings and items encased in glass, with no way for him to learn more about them. He said, it made me feel like an outsider. But 2 years ago, Luke was able to, quote-unquote, see the art again in a unique way at a convention for the blind. He encountered 3D PhotoWorks. This is a company that produces tactile fine art printing for museums and science centers. It had a few samples on hand for people to experience seeing through touching famous works of art, like the Mona Lisa, that have been converted into touchable 3D printed versions. The art is also embedded with sensors throughout, and when they are activated, the audio line describes what is being touched on the image. Here's a quote, I had never felt anything like this before, said Luke, whose family asked that their last name not be used. John Olson, the co-founder of the company 3D PhotoWorks, was at the convention to introduce his idea to the blind community and to receive feedback and ask them to join focus groups. Wanting input from all ages, Olson asked Luke to be one of his technical advisors. As a young person, Luke was living in a highly visual world without sight. Olson wanted to know what Luke was looking for when it comes to inclusive museum exhibits. A quote from Olson, who said, Luke is a dynamic kid who doesn't let blindness stand in his way. Olson is a photographer of 40 years who became known for his work during the Vietnam War in Life magazine. He saw an opportunity in 2008 to develop the technology to give the blind access to art and photography in a way they had never experienced before. The startup company spent 7 years working on the technology and process behind scanning 2D images and using them to carve out 3D art and overlay the print on top of a substrate. It has already provided the sight unseen experience at the Canadian Museum for Human Rights, as well as showcasing what it can to the more than 35,000 museums in the U.S. at the American Alliance of Museums Expo in Washington. The World Health Organization estimates that there are 285 million people visually impaired worldwide, and Olson wants to help as many of them as he can reach through museums and other cultural institutions. Here's a quote, Our process captures information right down to the brush stroke. When a blind person experiences a Van Gogh or the Mona Lisa, they, in fact, can capture more information than many people who are sighted who have to view the art at a distance. For people who are sighted going to visit the original Mona Lisa in the Louvre today, visitors have to stand 40 to 50 feet away behind two barriers, and the art is protected by layers of bulletproof glass. The 3D process allows everyone to experience this art differently, whether they are sighted or not, Olson said. Before, he said, or Luke said this, before I had only encountered audio descriptions of the art in museums. But that's not your interpretation. That is how someone else sees it. With this technique, you can make your own decisions about art and experience it for real. You can feel the details that would be left out in an audio description. Very interesting. And the next article, too, comes from www.citylab.com. This is how printed 3D maps are helping blind and visually impaired people. Engineers and designers are just starting to explore the potential of 3D printed maps for the visually impaired. The Joseph Kohn Training Center in New Brunswick, New Jersey, is a state-funded facility that teaches vocational skills to the blind and visually impaired. Old wooden maps help students navigate the halls. They are about 2 feet tall by 3 feet wide. They have Braille labels and hand-cut pieces crudely glued on to indicate where the rooms, stairways, and other building amenities are located. They're usually hung only on the walls of the three-story building when new students need to familiarize themselves with the floor plan. A quote, "Students have to memorize everything because they can't carry that map with them," said Ho-Wan Lee, a mechanical engineer at Rutgers University. But that's finally changing. Beginning last summer, Lee and his student Jason Kim decided to give the maps a much-needed upgrade using 3D printing. The technology has helped architects dream up incredible structures. The 3D technology has inspired urban planners and even helped refugees rebuild lost landmarks. So why couldn't it become a tool for the blind and visually impaired, who make up an estimated 285 million people globally? Using the university's 3D printers and modeling software, Lee and Kim recreated these maps with some changes. The wood was replaced with durable plastic. Each floor is now mapped separately, the stack kept together with binder rings. And they've designed the whole thing to be the size of a small tablet, so students can carry it with them. There is still enough space to include all the essentials, Lee notes. The map outlines all the rooms, and there's a legend with different shapes representing the bathrooms, namely a circle for the men's room and a triangle for the women's room. It also shows you elevators represented by squares and stairways by multiple lines. Tactile maps are not new. Through sounds and textures, scientists and architects have come up with a slew of designs to guide people who are visually impaired through transit, buildings, and even a lesson on the history of evolution. Such maps often use embossing printers to put texture onto a piece of paper. And while Lee's and Kim's project is certainly not the first 3D printed map, engineers and designers are just starting to explore how the technology can be applied to the needs of the blind community. In 2014, Japanese developers created software that allows people to download geospatial data and print out low-cost maps that can clearly differentiate highways, walkways, and railways. The creators now plan to use 3D printer-friendly designs to outline uneven surfaces and hills to make the maps more helpful during weather-related evacuations. And just last year, students at the University of Central Missouri spent a month making a 3D map of their campus. At the suggestion of a fellow student who is blind, buildings were kept at a uniform height so users can feel large areas at once. Doorways are marked with stars, and grid lines help users estimate the distance between points. A quote, "The strength of 3D printing is to be able to print any features you want," said Lee. "You create your three-dimensional model on the computer, send this data to the printer, and you can carry that 3D object with you." Portability, speed, and durability are just three advantages of 3D printing. Lee says that technology's versatility is also a big plus. He and Kim are working to find low-cost ways to scale their mapping project so that every student at the training center can have his or her own set. In the long term, however, Lee hopes to develop such a map for entire cities. One thing about cities is that they are constantly changing. A quote, "There are new buildings and new construction everywhere," he tells CityLab, the source of this article. "With 3D printers, you can easily change your designs on the computer. Everything is digital." So what might a city lab, what might a city map look like in 3D? One of the key goals of any map is to help users differentiate between buildings and transit hubs, railways and roadways, water and land. Using open data from something called OpenStreetMap, one Finland-based designer, Samuli Karkkainen, has started working on that. The application is called Touch Mapper, and this allows users to put in any address to generate customized tactile maps of that neighborhood. The program has a variety of different symbols and textures to represent different features. This is according to the website 3dprint.com. Varied heights and textures differentiate the different topography. Most bodies of water are represented by wavy surfaces, while smaller streams are just narrow lines. Pedestrian roads are raised higher than other roads, as the visually impaired utilize them more frequently. The user's selected address is marked as a raised cone, and the map's northeast corner is specially marked to ensure proper orientation. But engineers haven't got 3D maps all figured out yet. For one thing, cities are huge and full of small details. There has to be room for compromise, Lee says. He plans a map of Brunswick, New Jersey that will likely highlight major buildings like City Hall and transit points like bus stops and subways, using different textures and shapes representing different features. And quote, "It's all about how much detail you want to put on it," Lee says. Obviously, you don't want to carry a very big map with you because that's not practical. So the author, Linda Poon, is an assistant editor at City Lab covering science and urban technology, including smart cities and climate change. She's previously covered global health and development for NPR's Goats and Soda Log. The website citylab.com is committed to telling the story of the world's cities, how they work, the challenges they face, and solutions they need. This is part of the Atlantic Monthly Group, and the website is citylab.com. Might be an interesting one for you to check out. Okay, the final article that I have for you today is titled 3D Printing Gives Precious Memories to People Who Are Blind. This was written by Rick Hall, and it comes from a very inclusive website that I used for a lot of the preliminary research. It's called 3dprintingindustry.com. If you're interested in the subject, you can find a lot of interesting stories on there. 3dprintingindustry.com. This article, 3D Printing Gives Precious Memories to the Blind. A visually impaired couple in Italy have turned to 3D printing to help bring the memories of their childhood back to life and effectively create a photo for people who are visually impaired. Most of us can simply look at old photos for a wave of nostalgia, but people who are visually impaired or blind simply have to live in the moment. That is, until this couple in Italy applied a little lateral thinking and decided that 3D printing could put them in touch with their past. The subheadline on the next paragraph reads, "She only wanted to see his face." It started with a simple concept. Mickey wanted to see how her new fiancé's face looked like when he was a small boy. Her senses allow her to build a mental image of anybody she can touch, but most women want to know what their boyfriend looked like as a child. This would be simple enough, except she lost her sight at a young age. Domenico had an idea, and he set about making the perfect engagement present. The next subheadline reads, "Converting an old photo is no easy task." This is Domenico, the person in charge of this project. He took a picture to local Cuomo artist. This is in Italy, and he's also a digital sculptor. The name is Simone Rossetti. He asked him to turn a photo of the then five-month-old child into a digital representation. That's easier said than done. The 40-year-old photo lacked the resolution of a modern digital file, so the artist had to make use of what's called the ZBrush software suite to effectively build a virtual sculpture of the younger Domenico from the basic information on the paper picture. It's a powerful concept, and one that we simply did not consider. People who are visually impaired are locked in the moment, though. They have to touch, smell, or hear something to truly appreciate it. But now we can create models that put them in touch with their past. Seeing relatives for the very first time is the next headline. Imagine a world where someone who has lost their sight could see their parents' faces. Imagine a world where they could touch a model of their child from many years ago, the same way a devoted parent would pull out an old family photo album. Now, when Domenico is out of town on business, Mickey can take out the model, and it gives her the same solace as a photo. It's a beautiful concept with much wider application. Next section, it works for buildings, too. A visually impaired person might never get to visit a famous monument. Even if they can, then it's too much to analyze with their hands. It's just too big. To really appreciate a building, we need to stand farther back and look at it from a distance. We need a sense of perspective. A blind person's perspective can come from a scaled-down model. They could hold the Eiffel Tower in their hands or the Statue of Liberty and really get a feel for some of the wonders this world has to offer. I thought immediately of the Leaning Tower of Pisa. This would be a great thing to be able to hold in your hands. But then the next section, the final section in the article says, models can show the whole world to the blind. Even the basics like a car or a tree can be easier to understand with a small model. So this heartwarming story about a couple in love has a wider application. 3D printing can help the blind to see the world in their own unique way. It is a simple way that we can really change lives for the better. It is something we should embrace. Well, I have a quote for you to end today's program. It's from a source called Brighten the Day. It's a short one. It says, never let the things you want make you forget the things you have. This isn't given to any particular person for the source, so just enjoy it for what it is. Never let the things you want make you forget the things you have. Thank you for listening, and I hope you have a great week. You've been listening to Enabled, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. Our technical director is Maureen Rich, and I'm Nancy Zimmer. I hope you'll join me again next week for more updates and information and encouraging stories. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can listen to it at our website, wxxi.org.